Are we going? We're going. Hi. It's another Sunday night. I am somewhere between Encino and Willard, New Mexico. Traveling along as I am wont to do. Going from my home with Lisa. Lisa is my home. In case you don't know exactly. I've never seen that one. Anyway. Interesting day, and I don't know if I need to put down for record things. My wonderful wife tried to make contact with our eldest daughter, again, elder daughter, and treated with much. Of course, she was always the one to think that she was superior. Really did. Very, very, very dishonorable to her parents. Now, she thinks nothing of me. She does not acknowledge me as her father. Not that that's new. She made up stories of the fact that I was not her father. Had a certain lack of integrity that way. Her choice. Anyway, and Lisa tried to contact her. Although she was taking a page from my book, I'm not sure I'm a good example for anyone. That's always a first thing to know about me, is that I don't put myself forward as an example. I've got an atrociously bad memory. Or at least an allegedly bad memory. I find it interesting that in a lot of ways I have quite a good memory, but often when it comes to stories and recollections, I am corrected so many times that I have just gotten out of the habit of speaking of such things. You know, when people say, tell us a story about when you were young, I am completely reticent to do so. I don't think completely is the right way of saying it. But I'm very reticent to do so. For the simple reason that it's like, I'm always told that my rendition of it is very incorrect. And therefore, it's like, well, then I'm not going to, then I just won't offer it. And so, yeah, if you want to know about my past, you're just going to have to get it from my children. And if my children are very interested in pilloring me, doing something horrible to me, I guess that's exactly what they can do. You know, they won't get... They won't get much contradiction from me, but a shrug, and I'd rather not hear the stories in front of me. You can do it behind my back. Make me my ignorance is bliss for anything. Anyway, So anyway, my oldest daughter, was extremely disrespectful, chastised her mother, which, I'm sorry, says, you can pillory me all you want to, you know, and I'm probably just gonna say whatever. Says, but I thought I was always quite clear to my children that you were not to say anything untoward about your mother. And she has violated that one on several occasions. Earned the anger of her mother. Earned it through good, diligent labor. Telling her how incorrect and wrong her take is, and how manipulative. And it's like, no, she's walking on eggshells trying not to offend you, which I guess is completely impossible. No matter what you say, it is wrong and offensive and totally inappropriate. And it's like, okay, then, you know, it's sad because both Lisa and I have a deep parental love for all of our children, her included. Severely tested, tried by her dastardly, despicable behavior. I do. I said, I am very glad that she is in a good position where she has a roof over her head, she has good meals, she has things to do to keep her occupied. I'm hoping she's done something with her art. She had quite a good talent for art, even went to school to improve with it. Excellent art, I thought. Excellent eye. Interesting subject matter. Wonderful. The sad part is that I have not seen any of her works for quite a while, and it worries me that she is. And I've even asked, you know, to say, hey, where's some of your? I'd love to see some of your recent artwork. Knowing probably that she would take, if she was still producing art, which I think that's kind of the low way to say it, if she was still being artistic, that, you know, I'm sure the subject matter would have been my evil. But I still would have liked to have seen it and to know that it continues to develop and grow. And it's never brought up. At least when I bring it up, it's not responded. I get no response on that. You know, I get the vitriol and other things that just, you know. I'd be sad to think that one of the talents that she had, and she had others too. I think she was actually quite a decent writer, and however, you know, she never took my advice there either, which was to say, Shayna, if you packaged up the things that you were saying and you just made sure that you put in front of it a novel by or a story by, as opposed to trying to put it forth as truth, I think it's marketable. I think it's something that you could add to and make quite an interesting story. Make a livelihood between your art and your writing. I think it might go well. But all the evidence I have now is the things she has to say about her parents. And as far as I'm aware of, well, anyway, it doesn't matter. Suffice it to say that I really don't want to read her stuff anymore. So, she kind of lost a supporter there, and that's sad. And I hope she does well. I hope everything goes all right there. And my greatest wish is that she might be able to retain her position where she is. I really do. I don't want anything bad to happen to her particularly, but you know, when it gets right down to it, I don't think I have much I don't think there's much help I can give, such as her hatred for me. It's her own decision. I didn't request it. I was not interested in severing our relationship, where she was bound and determined to make sure it was so. And I'm not saying I'm the good person. This is one half determined for themselves. If some independent party wants to come and take a look at it, determine if, as my daughter says, I was extremely abusive to her, or abusive, period, that's really for other people to determine. The sad part is I'm not going to be able to give much in the way of a defense. So it's just, you know, it's like, I have nothing to say. It says, if she saw what was happening as abusive, that's all there is to it. But you have to do the best you can with other things. Do I think it was abusive? Not particularly. But who cares what I think? Good gracious. This isn't the universe for making statements like that. It's just not here. You know, the question is how much is our reports from sources, how destructive they will ultimately be. So far, not so much. Doesn't mean that could change. Okay, well, let's get off of that. I'm sad, and I don't know if Lisa has just thrown up her hands and said, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can say to this woman. It made me think. We actually had our audit today, and a good sister came to do our audit, a CPA. Excellent. I'm glad she didn't find any discrepancies, and she was prepared to, she did ask a few questions about some transactions. satisfied with the answers, great. And she brought up something quite interesting. But now I forget what it was. It always happens. I think something good, and then there is a lead up to it, and I forget where I was headed. Oh, it's horrible. I need to write stuff down, but I'm in a car, for Pete's sakes. I can't write it down. Anyway, let's see what else is going on lately here. People keep bringing up the interesting thing about getting a trailer to provide more space and to give us a second bathroom and a few more places for people to sleep. Lisa's expressed her, I don't know if angst is the right word, but that she doesn't want the kids just lounging around the house around her, that really kind of bugs her. If there's going to be people living on the property, our kids, they need to be someplace else. You know, we gave some thought to building another building. You know, an annex, a casita, what's it called, an auxiliary dwelling unit. Ultimately, I really just didn't want to go through the stuff, and every time I try to contact somebody with the city of Tucumcari, I just get static. It's almost to the point to where it's almost tempting to just ignore them. You can almost treat them as if they don't exist for how much they provide information at all, and that's disappointing. But you know, I don't want to break the rules, but when it's going to become obvious that I'm going to have to, you know, drag information out of them, it's like, well, why bother? But I don't want to do things that will intrinsically get me into trouble. Trailers seem pretty safe. Where one parks a trailer, it seems that that nobody really cares particularly what comes of that. So it's like, okay, great, that's perfect, you know. I'll pay my taxes in one way, and otherwise they'll just kind of leave me alone, and it won't be anything to be concerned about. Excellent. Anyway, so yeah, I talked about it with one friend, and he said, "Oh yeah, I'll sell you." And I didn't give him a good, you know, it's something that he would need to ponder on, talk to his wife about, stuff like that. And then Brenna calls me, Brenna Jelaine. Our younger daughter, turning 28 here in a few days. Wow, amazing. She's carrying on with her life, doing what she does. She builds earth ships. Very interesting to me. I had looked at Earth ships a long time ago, back when I was pondering a life of abject poverty, which was, I think, a bit incompatible with Lisa, my wife, the daughter of God, the daughter of God needeth better than that. So that's what we did for quite some time. What else is going on? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Well, let me go ahead and mention this. We always have interesting discussions. I find them interesting. I don't know if they're fantastically spiritual, but I think they're interesting. And I guess things could get pulled out of it that are profitable and good. Coming up on mountain air, one of my, I like mountain air. Now, I'm never going to live there, or at least not as long as Lisa lives, but it's an interesting place, way up high. I like high places. Don't ask me why, I don't know. Not so sure if I'm into the mountains exactly as a place. I don't mind camping in the mountains. I don't mind hiking in the mountains. But I don't know if I want to live there particularly. You know, weird abject poverty thing I've got going. Anyway, there was a talk given by one of the general primary presidency and general conference about letting Christ write your story. I'm probably taking it way out of context, sorry. And I don't remember her name, and that's typical me. Anyway. And to be honest, when it got down to it, we strayed often from the text. And I feel bad because I'm not helpful to leadership to keep us on the right course these days. I don't know why, I'm just not. Usually I used to be very good about that, especially when I was a leader. You know, it was very important to me to stay on course that I was hoping to work on. And hopefully I didn't make our elders quorum president just obnoxious. I don't know if he really likes me much. And that's regrettable. I have no intention of creating problems for anybody. Anyway. And he brought up something, and I thought it was very appropriate. I thought it was very good. Because he was talking about, everybody works really hard, coming up with goals and plans and all the things that they're going to do. And he was making the point that we needed to make sure that Christ had a place in those goals and plans. And I thought about myself, and I don't think about this all the time, but it comes up every now and then, and I find it interesting, given what I do at any particular time, and how successful I may appear. I've never really looked at it that way. And like I said, I say this all the time, and people say, oh, he's just trying to be, you know, humble or false humility. I say, oh, nothing to it. Because I think people who have strong goals and work toward them and consult with the Lord to get inspiration from the Spirit to help them along, that's superior. Certainly superior to anything that I would be that I would be talking about. And this wasn't expressed, which is good. It's good for me. It's good for me to keep my mouth shut and not express these sorts of things. Because to be honest, I think I rarely had a plan. And honestly, the plans that I did come up with, I didn't find them very... I'm gonna go ahead and go on. And I hope I've got enough gas to get to a gas station further on. This is a long stretch of no gas stations. And I think I should be okay. Anyway. I don't know if I've wandered aimlessly through life. I've got a very unsightly, lazy streak. That's true. Very much really didn't give much thought to what I was doing. I often kind of scare myself when I go for jobs, whether that job, I'll tell you what I do. I throw it out there and I pray and I say, Father, if this is something that needs to happen, help me to get it. If it's not something that needs to happen, then it's fine. It's really easy for the Lord to just not help me or not let it happen. And it makes it difficult to get really angry, although I do it still. Sometimes I will shake the fist of the heavens. I remember me doing that, and sometimes I don't remember why I do it. I don't think I'm particularly skilled or talented in what I do now. I think I have lots of experience, but I'm sad to say that even with the documentation that I do, and I probably do more than most people do because I know myself enough to know that if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget it. It's not like it's going to be embedded in my soul or something. And even my experience fails me often. I'm always grateful to the Lord because I think the Lord helps me a lot. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And I hope that I declare that gratitude often. But yeah, there was this whole thing about, oh, you know, make sure there's your plans and your goals that all, you know, and he said, we all work on it. We all have a plan. We all have goals. And it's like, I was like, I don't think I ever did. I don't think I pictured myself too strongly in the future to work something. I remember in my mid-40s. I wouldn't even, you know, you'd say, oh, well, he's finally getting serious about something. And you go, you know, to be honest, no. I had recently talked to my grandmother, and she was quite pleased that I had stuck with the job I was at for 8 years. And she was very happy with the fact that maybe I had found something that I could stick with. And I think almost within a few months after talking to her, I changed jobs, and we moved from the place that we had lived in for 15 years, for quite a while, and I don't know how she felt about that. We never talked after that, particularly, and she passed away not too long into the future, and. That was pretty much it. Like I said, I'm not a paragon. Don't look to me as some kind of an example. In fact, that's what we were saying. You know, this is should we write down in this story? I don't know how it got off. That was just a metaphor, as far as I'm aware of. But everybody thought, you know, about, oh, we keep journals and stuff like that. And you go, oh, okay. And, you know, they said, well, do you want to write in there only the good things about the good things that you did and the good thoughts that you had and stuff like that? Or do you want to be more factual and include a lot of your failings and downtroddings? To be honest, I think if you're studious at all, now, I do with these recordings. I don't know if that's appropriate. I don't know if that's the same thing. I don't have any idea. If you just do it on a regular basis, you're going to be in there, good and bad, up and down, the whole thing, the whole enchilada, as long as you don't just record the good things, you know, you record the bad things, too. I don't know if I have very many bad things, just things that are like, well, weird. Because I'm somewhat philosophical. I'm not, you know, I am not a journalist. My thoughts are more along the lines of, well, what does this mean? What does that mean? You know, whatever. So it was that, and I found, I seem to recall that there was a general authority talk that I heard a long time ago, which I can never find, and that's becoming a growing problem with me. I don't know if it's because these things go away. There was an apostle in the 60s. I'm not even gonna attempt a stab at who it might have been, but it talked about careerism. I never found a transcript of it, but I did listen to it once. I think an old BYU devotional talk, perhaps. And his talk was about careerism and the fact that he felt like that was bad. And I don't remember why he felt it was bad particularly. He just felt it was bad. And of course, I already really wasn't much of a careerist. Certainly wasn't climbing on any level. Except that I would change jobs, and those jobs progressively made more money, and that's all. Yeah, that's really the, you know, especially this last one, the job I have now, I feel like I was inspired by the Lord to trip over it, and I think most people got the impression that they didn't want to have anything to do with it. And for the first year, I wasn't sure if I wanted to have anything to do with it. The first year's over. I've been there for about, 15, 16 months now. And I know that my wife really wants me to keep doing this job until I retire, or until I just grow weary of working for money. I don't care about money particularly. It's been quite pleasant right now to know that we actually make enough money so that I don't have to worry about every nickel and dime. That's been very nice. Except for right now, I made some mistakes on my debit card. I put some charges on there that I should have charged to Lisa and I's joint account. And I've only got $90 left to live off of until the end of this week. I should be okay. I don't think I'm going to be too close, but the biggest thing is, you know, gas is my biggest expense by far. Don't even compare with food. And so I've got to be a little careful about that. Probably going to do yet again only one temple trip this week. On Tuesday, Sam will meet up with me, Elder Nimro, and we'll be going through the endowment session together. And that's always great. I love to see that. I like the direction that Elder Nimro is headed. I like it. Brings me joy in a life that doesn't have tons of joy in it, or I don't often recognize the joy I should be feeling. This brings me joy. And of course, my wife brings me much joy as well. I love to serve Lisa because she appreciates it. Boy, let me tell you, that's wonderful. I wish I could remember what our auditor was talking about that made me think about something. And but it's not coming. It'll probably never come. Let me see what else. What else goes? Oh, yeah, I already told you that Brenna might have a travel trailer for me. I like the whole idea of a travel trailer because you can just turn that thing off and it costs you nothing. And it sits there and waits until you need it again. You know, now it needs a little maintenance, but really none. Especially if you have no intention of moving the thing. Regardless, try to put something aside, and you go, well, maybe this just isn't what we should be doing. But I keep getting, you know, it's almost like the universe keeps reminding me that this might be necessary. And good time to do it. Inexpensive addition to the house. While not being an extension of the house, just some more living space. And have no intention of, you know, that like one of my friends, Tim Thompson, was saying, you could rent that out. And I'm going, oh, no. I don't want to rent out that kind of a situation. No, that's just, no, I'm not going to do it. I said, now, if it's my children, and we kind of call the arrangement rent, but it's really not. It's just contributing to the living. 1927 rule. When they're, you know, if they're still around when they're 19, need them to help out with basic expenses, and that's called rent. We kind of just gave that the easy term rent, and then it's like, well, and then if you're still wanting that kind of a situation at 27, if you're 27 or older and you need that, then it's expected that you're going to pay room and board. So it's significantly more because we're going to need you to kick in for the food too, at least to provide. Even though that food may very well be very, very interesting these days. Regardless. I very much get the impression that if I want to get animal protein in my life, better take care of that while I am not with Lisa, because Lisa is getting to the point to where she is eschewing this thing. It's really starting to sound very vegan. But they call it whole food plant-based. It's different than being vegan, but it sure smells vegan. And sorry to say, just lacks a whole lot in flavor and taste and stuff like that. And to be really honest, coming right down to it, joy. Lisa used to execute culinary joy, and it was wonderful. But now she can get to the point where she can hardly eat a lot of things. And because of this, I want to be supportive of her because she's the daughter of God. She's my wife. She is the number one person in my life. And, there's that. So, yeah, we're doing the whole food, plant-based stuff. You know, it's all good stuff, but... Sorry. It is flavorless to the extreme sometimes. Luckily, Matt doesn't seem to really care. Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't really care either. Sam is probably the seems to be the most unhappy with the situation, and sometimes only eats a little bit of stuff, and then I think he goes out and finds other food, goes foraging somewhere, and I don't blame him, because it's like, oh my gosh, you know, at least it's going at it with her normal, wow, she is a worker, Lisa Jean is, oh my gosh, and she's pouring herself into learning all she can about this, and getting recipes, a huge collector of recipes, which she hand writes. She is amazing that way. Anyway. Oh, so, yeah. I don't know what I'm learning about myself. But I keep on keeping on. I find my attitude toward my job is at least smoothing out, which is always positive. That's good. Because I do some, boy, there was whole weeks in the past year that I was just like, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I want to do this. And I'm going to do it for a while longer. The plan that I have, which half the time I work against them. The one plan for here was to do this job for 5 years. I've already done it for a little over one, so I've got 3 and some left. Mostly because, and this is, can I be honest about a lot of the big plans that Lisa and I have? It mostly has to do with just what needs to be done. Not any great, fantastic, we're going to rise to a new level of existence. Nah. Just what immediately seems prudent. Lisa's working at the schools in San Jose as an aide, and it's just immediately prudent. She isn't going to be able to do Medicare under her own power without doing a few more years of work. So she, from years and years and years of being just a wife and a mother and running a household and doing all the things that she did, but she was quite busy. She stayed very busy. She went to work for somebody else for a little while, just to get the last credits that she needs so she qualifies for Medicare, the United States health care system for seniors, for the old age medical program. And my thing that working for the place I'm working at for 5 years is strictly for the pension. My pension is based on my best 5 years or my last 5 years, and that's going to be both if I plan it right. Based on my last 20 quarters, how much money was made and contributed to the system dictates how much money I get in a pension. And the normal thing of hoping that the pension actually is there when I need it, that it will actually be functional. You just proceed as if it's going to be, and that's just what you do, You don't know what the future holds, but you continue walking forward. I was talking to Andy Swap, our branch president. I'm one of his, I'm a person that works with him quite a bit as the clerk. Branch president and the clerk end up spending a lot of time together. Anyway, and he was is expressing some of his concerns about the times right now, and the times are concerning. And I said, you know, he says, and I said, I don't know what to think of the second coming. I don't know how it's going to look. He said, I won't be surprised if most of the institutions that have been built up in government and things like that will survive into the millennium. I think many of them will. Now, those who are evil, they're not going to be here. That is a cleansing guarantee, for lack of a better term for it. And it just happened to come up, and it just came into my head, and I said, you know, this is the promised land. And you go, and, you know, he was always worried about really bad things happening here. I said, oh, I'm not saying that there might not be bad things happening here. I said, but I do think it continues to be the promised land. And those who are here are obligated to be righteous. It says, and from what I recall from Book of Mormon history, is that when the Nephites, those who are called the people of Nephi, at the very end, turned against God, he let them be destroyed. He'd always preserved them up until that time. So I said, I think as long as we're righteous, we can stay. And so it's not that something bad is going to happen to, say, the United States, for instance, or Mexico, or Canada, or any part of you know, Brazil, or places like that. This is a place that was set aside for the righteous. And as long as we are righteous, I think we are going to get to stay here. And it's going to continue to be something of a blessed place. So I don't think that ends. I think our continued association with the place may end if we choose not to be righteous. And I guess he said, wow, I never thought of it that way. And he goes, I'm not particularly concerned about the United States. Now, whether the country survives, I don't know. I have no idea. He says, now, will this place still be a promised land? And you go, oh, yes, I think it will be. Whether it's just a chunk of what once was the United States, or if it's this entire continent. I'm not worried. This is a good place to be. We're blessed. I feel badly for the people that aren't from here and are scrabbling to get here. I don't, you know, I am not too much of a wall guy. I'm more of an open borders guy. Now, you know, I would like the United States to come up with a policy to let people come here legally, to come up with a system that's workable. The one that they've got right now, I don't think much of it. It's mostly just leave the doors open, whatever laws are in place, ignore them, you know, and it's mostly a tactic by Democrats to hopefully buy votes, get votes. They think the people coming in will say, hey, the Democrats let us in and we're going to vote for them whenever we get to get a chance to get to the polls. And the Democrats have been quite strident about making sure that anybody who can stumble into a polling place will be allowed to vote, and their vote will be counted at least three times. So that's a joke, but it might be true. the Republicans like it because a constant flow of cheap labor, and for people who are of the entrepreneurial or business leaning, that's obviously a good thing. A constant supply of cheap labor is beautiful. So there's a lot of reasons that both sides would just say, you know what, we're not concerned about immigration particularly. Even though there's plenty of legislation in place to do something about it, there are, plenty of Border Patrol agents that are in positions where they are supposed to do something about it. And it must be an interesting job in that I get the impression that half the time they're told just to kind of go through the motions and not detain anybody or even to be helpful. And you're going, guy, are these guys confused? I don't know. So no, I'm kind of an open border sort of guy because I think this is the promised land, and I think if people can get themselves here by whatever, we're on the dirt road, in case you haven't wondered, we're in the very last mile or two before I get to crash site. Here's somebody that just set up shop on his acre, or however much he bought. Got a couple of trailers, and has got some lights, and it looks very, very domestic. It's great. Not like mine, which looks like somebody just parked some junk on their acre. It's not dirty. I don't have a dirty lot. I just, I think that most people would think that it was just an acre to store a couple of things. And anyway, it doesn't matter. So yeah. Learn about me. Open borders. I'm a Jefferson liberal. I think our government should be extremely constrained and should have very well spelled out what it is empowered to do, and it should stay out of the rest. And that might get me into some trouble sometimes with some people who say, but you're not giving people a moral compass to go by in government. And you go, I don't feel like government should be your moral compass, particularly. It says, for what one would hope to be a melting pot of many different peoples and cultures, you have to be cognizant of the fact that it's not so much melting. It's little here, little there of many cultures, and we have to figure out a way to get along together. And for right now, we really don't have anything that brings us together. Lisa and I started watching a thing. Lisa, I don't think, was very interested. Lisa's very much, she is your friend until something happens, and then she's really not your friend anymore. She is very much that way. And she really like Dennis Prager. We bought some of Dennis Prager's Rational Bible books. And I happened to send her a thing saying, well, Dennis Prager is kind of a war hawk, you know, when it comes to this whole Ukraine business. Now, you have to know that Dennis Prager's attitude about especially Russia is extremely well informed. He spent a lot of time in Russia. That was his basic study, his undergraduate study. I don't know if he did any formalized college past a bachelor's degree, or I don't even know if he got a bachelor's degree. I don't know if he finished, but that was his study, was Russian and Russian culture and literature and stuff like that. And his attitude about Russia is not an ignorant one. He would very much have a very studied attitude about. Now, it was Soviet Russian. I don't know if that's relevant or not. Here we are. So it's another one of those days where I'm going to keep on talking. And just get in the. Get in the reunion capsule. And lay down and go to bed. And you'll hear some of that, I guess. I used to always stop it before this. I don't do it anymore. There's my neighbors. Their generator's going. Their lights are on. It's not quite dark yet. Well, it is dark. Next week, I believe, daylight savings time begins again. And it'll be dark again when I leave in the mornings, and it will be light an hour later at night. See, now you guys are hearing me go to the bathroom, because this is what I do before I go crawl into the capsule. Take care of my duties. It's a beautiful night. It's not cloudy. It's not too cloudy. It's quite clear tonight. Orion is right here. Right overhead. And many nights you can see the Milky Way. Tonight, not readily so. Every morning there are bright planets. One toward the east, mostly east southeast. I don't know which one that is. It could be Venus, probably. And then over further north, as I look north, there's one that just has the littlest red sheen in. So I would anticipate that that's Mars over there. And that was just like, I think Friday I saw Mars. Haven't really been looking for it, but it showed. So it's quite a thing. One forgets the stars if one doesn't look up very often. And my situation out here, while camping, really accentuates. The amazing stars. Sadly, my situation here, I just have not found good. good equipment to do star identification. Just sad. I'd really like to be able to say, oh, this is, you know, I'd like to know what those planets were. And of course, you can see the Big Dipper very readily. Unfortunately, the glare from Albuquerque really obscures the Little Dipper, and sometimes I can see Polaris, but often I can't. So I think that's the end there. All right. So, a little bit more about what I do now that I'm all. Oh boy. My interesting camping situation here. Oh. Anyway, what am I talking about before you head on? I don't remember. Anyway. Oh, the Lord's being very good to me. Oh. Whew. Next to me, get my coat off. It's gonna get quite nice. Most nights are still in the 20s. Sometimes get below the 20s into the high teens. But this week, they had actually forecast that we would get as high as 76. Which is, that's almost hot. And the low would get down to like 40, which is just balmy. So, get to the less frigid parts of the winter as we start slowly making our way toward the spring. Oh, mercy. Oh, my. This bedroll is marvelous. Oh, worth its weight in gold, I tell you. Well. This is my second winter, at the crash site. Most of the first winter, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. I think I've had my sailboat for right at a year. It might have been. Yeah, it might have been the first couple of days of March when I bought it and brought it out here. I've had it for just right of the year. My first winter, predominantly, I slept in the blister, which was my first situation here. The blister's still here. But I put a big industrial black tarp on it. It certainly has lasted much better than the poly sheets, the thick poly sheets that I was trying to make do. The blister itself is a geodesic dome. That was designed to be a greenhouse, and I originally built it under the same auspice as being a greenhouse, but I slept inside of it, and
I really don't know how the neighbors felt, because on some level, I think the sheeting was not transparent. It's translucent, though, which means that when I had a light on inside the blister, chances are it was making things, it was glowing, you know. But like I said, it just got me through that first winter. And I covered it up with a tougher tarp that's done quite well. I would imagine it will last the full 5 years. And it's just now for storage for a lot of the stuff that came out of the boat and this and that. Well, regardless, I gotta tell you that I'm very blessed. The situation's much improved to what it was. I've been in this boat in huge howling winds that shook the thing like I was back at sea again. Major downpours. The first year of being on the crash site was probably the most unseasonably wet year that people have known here for decades. Had a lot of vegetation grow up. Now it's since died back down. A lot of succulents came up. Almost green around here. And of course they've died back since it's gone to the fall and the winter, and really have not had rain or snow particularly to speak of here since the fall. And I've had freezing rain, which is actually the scariest in this situation, because the hatch of this cabin in the sailboat, it can freeze shut, freeze open, freeze closed, and all of a sudden I'm stuck. I can't get the darn hatch to slide. It's a sliding hatch. And it freezes in the wrong thing. And if it's cold enough, it just does not melt. And I had good luck with it, though. I was able to slide it open. And so I've had most of the weather that is to be encountered here, I've slept in the boat with it, and it's done its job. You know, it hangs together, and it keeps the rain and the snow off. It protects me from the wind. It's not perfect. It's certainly not insulated on any level. And people, people get all kinds of interesting attitudes about what's good and what's bad. And I said, I don't need insulation. I've got a bedroll, a nice one. I was just telling Todd Alsis, Delis's Narrows' son, had come for a visit with his mom. And we're about the same age, and we this situation came up, Della kind of brought it up. I think she really likes talking about me and my situation sometimes. Anyway, and you know, people bring up, do you have insulation out there? And you go, no. You know, I said, I'd look at it as kind of like a hunting cabin or something. That's all it is. He says, I'm just there during the week. It's not a big deal. And I've been quite fortunate. It doesn't get really hot out here, which is interesting. You'd think that with the desert, it would get hot. But with deserts, there is a larger... temperature difference. So if it gets hot in that it's the hundreds during the summertime, it'll still drop down below 70 at night, which is all you need, you know. It's just, as long as you can handle not being involved with the heat, which you take care of by you're at work and there's air conditioning at work, so you're okay. That as long as you don't leave, you know, you don't want to leave work at 5 and get here at 6 and it's still burning hot. You don't do that. You stay where you are, and you wait until it's after dark. And then you come here, and it's already started cooling off, and it works okay. Now, because of all the rain, we also had mosquitoes and stuff like that. You know, this is, I'm only about a mile from the Rio Grande River, so a lot of mosquitoes come up from the river up here. So I've got my mosquito net that I got last year. When I figured out that this was going to be a sincere problem, and I wanted to keep the hatch open to the sky so I could get some air circulation and cool off the area, and it worked. I don't know if it was an unseasonably cool summer. We'll find out in subsequent summers if I'm going to regret this whole thing because it's just too hot in the summer. It gets cold in the winter. Not as cold as Tucumcari gets, strangely. This is the high desert. We're up at about 5,000 feet here. So it doesn't get as hot as lower deserts do. But it also doesn't get terribly cold. It gets cold maybe once or twice. And if it's going to be really intensely cold, I don't. For Lisa's sake, she worries about me, which is a wonderful thing. I'm grateful for her concern. We put out some money and I stay at a motel in town, and especially when it's supposed to snow. And I would rather be stuck in Socorro in a motel room if school decides that it's gonna not be open or start late or whatever. It's always good to have some place pleasant to be when you can't just go to work. But anyway, so I had those things. I had a two-nighter, and the morning of that first night, overnight, the school didn't start until it had a two-hour delay, and it was kind of nice to be in a comfortable motel room with a shower and stuff like that under those circumstances. And when finally did get out, it was just a drive, an in-town drive to get to work. Not bad at all. Not a bad life at all, can I tell you? Since this camping out is quite pleasant and works quite well. As long as I can keep my little car running. This is a good situation. And I know people don't realize that, and they think, oh, I couldn't live like that. And you go, well, I said, I don't really throw the Appalachian living at it particularly. It's camping. And it's okay. You know, you have to adjust your lifestyle to it, but it's not bad at all. It's not bad at all. I even kind of enjoy it to a certain level. Although I always like coming home to Lisa, and it's always a little sad. The weekends are quite short. Lisa and I are both looking forward to spring break, which is coming up in three weeks or so. Yeah. And we're going to go to our motel room in Tucum, in Albuquerque. And we're going to go, and we're going to go to Albuquerque and overnight for 3 nights, 4 day, 3 night. Little mini vacation, just enough to give us something worth looking forward to, and I find that those circumstances are the best. You can go from one time to the next and feel pretty good. I enjoy the three-day weekends I get on occasion. We're going through a long stretch of not having any of those. The next one is going to be probably get off a little early on Good Friday. Might get off at noon on Good Friday. And there's a holiday right after Easter. That's really the next extended thing, but that doesn't happen until sometime in April, maybe even mid to late April. And then there's the few little holidays, Memorial Day right around my birthday, which is always nice. May take my personal day right there too, so I might have a 4 day weekend. Those are always nice. Then the one after that's the 4th of July. And then Labor Day. And trying to think. September, October. I don't think there's anything in October particularly. I don't think we get Columbus Day off. And then there's November. There's Thanksgiving, which ends up being a four and a half day weekend. That's a pleasant one. And then on to Christmas, which is usually a week and a day. And that's a great one. So yeah, and to get some cycles there, to keep on going. Like I said, I take spring break off. I get enough leave time to take spring break, which is a week. Might take a week off somewhere in the summer. In June, usually. Or maybe some days around a day or two. One side or the other of July 4th to kind of connect it up to a weekend, so you have a really long weekend there. That's often pleasant. What else is going on? And I don't really have a backup person, so I don't have anybody to coordinate with. They just have to deal with the fact that I'm not going to be there sometimes. And that's neither here nor there. People seem to be able to cope with it all right. Anyway. Golly. Wasn't thinking of going all that way. But here I am, laying in my bed. Getting ready to drift off to sleep. Most of the time, I take two temple evenings a week. Lately, with the gas prices going up, it's only been one. I've only taken one night a week, although that makes the week go a little, it feels a little longer. I think having two temple nights a week is fantastic. And so it's usually Tuesday and Thursday. So I stay relatively busy in the evenings too. At least on two evenings a week. And that's like I said, it's not a bad life. And if I give people that impression that I suffer, it's I don't find that very accurate. And I probably shouldn't give people that impression if they do get it, you know. But no, it's quite nice. Lisa and I actually, I think, do better with these times apart. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think our love for each other, and I think our gratitude for each other, goes up during these times. It's better that I'm not gone a lot. Like when I used to work at sea, and I was gone for 5 weeks and home for 5 weeks. Frankly, the 5 weeks apart was tricky. And at the 5 hours home, Lisa was just about, she was really wanting to get rid of me. Did not want me around. And that's just us. You know, like I said, I would not recommend it to anybody, but it works for us. And anyway, well, it's time for sleep, and so I will bid you a fond farewell. It's 9:38 here, and it's only an hour and a half. It's always interesting. I always think it's longer than this, but this is about the longest it ever goes. But talk to you later. Bye.